Barry Wilner joining us, NFL writer for the AP. Barry, how are you, sir?
I'm doing okay, guys. How's it going out there?
Doing all right. How much credit does Buddy Ryan get as a pioneer in football? It's hard to be one, quite honestly, but was he doing things back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s that we had never seen in the NFL before?
Yeah, some things he was doing, and the thing about him is he was willing to innovate. You had great innovators through the years like Paul Brown with the Cleveland Browns, and many of that was on offense. But for Buddy Ryan, he was the guy who would try things. He developed new things. He was a tremendous innovator. And one thing that I'm not sure he's gotten enough credit for through the years, and you hear people talking today and giving him the credit, is he really was a good talent evaluator. He knew the type of player who could fit into his system, and he would find those players, whether they came from big college programs or high draft picks or guys who were undrafted or guys that came from lower-level schools. And he deserved tremendous credit for that.
Who are the modern-day innovators? You kind of piqued my interest with that comment. Who are the coaches now that when they die and they've passed on their legacy, we'll be saying the same thing about them?
Well, I'm not sure there are that many that are coaching right now. I think that, if you look back at somebody like Jimmy Johnson and what he did coming from college to pros and the way he was able to build a team through the draft and with great trades, I mean, you don't see a lot of that. He kind of stood out in his era. I think Joe Gibbs winning three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks was, a tremendous accomplishment. Think about it. Guys like Chuck Knoll and Bill Walsh and Bill Belichick, they won with the same quarterback for their Super Bowls. And, Gibbs was able to do it with not only three different quarterbacks, but three quarterbacks who were not superstars. Hmm. So, those are kind of some of the innovators you would look at. Mm-hmm. Buddy was different, though, than those guys, because Buddy and I would innovate, but if you didn't like what he was doing, he might punch you in the mouth.
Yeah, it's funny. We were talking about that a little bit earlier. You look at him now, he'd be the controversial type character. His sons are the sort of the rabble-rousers in the league now. The apple hasn't fallen too far from the tree, it would seem. But would that style, do you think Buddy's style would fit in a slightly more politically correct NFL like we have now?
I think it has fit when you look at Rex, and his style is similar, but he's Rex knows when to back off a little bit, I think, especially during games. The thing about Buddy was that he was going to keep doing what his teams did throughout a game. He was going to, I mentioned, punch you in the mouth. So that's what his teams did. They just kept coming after you and coming after you. And even to the extent of if it wasn't working, he kept trying it. So in that way, he's a little different than Rex. As a personality, I think we in the media, you guys, I think, would agree, love those kind of personalities, and we'd like to see more of them. You want to see more guys like Pete Carroll come along and guys who you can, the quote machines, and they're also very insightful, and they're energetic, and you like to see that. And I'm afraid we don't see as many in the NFL as we used to.
There's a lot of parts to being this this genius or this coach. What is it about Buddy that really made him great?
Unquestionably, if you ask all his former players, they'll tell you the same thing. The way he dealt with his players, the way he inspired them, the confidence that he gave them, that this system is going to work. What I'm asking you to do is what you can do best, even if you don't realize it. I think that, more than anything, those guys, you hear the old cliche that who do you want to be in a foxhole with? And really, with a lot of coaches, that's not true. That the players will just say that because that happens to be the guy who coaches them. With Buddy Ryan, that was true. These guys would, put anything on the line for him because they felt he would put anything on the line for them.
He coached some of the great defensive players in the history of the NFL. There's always the chicken and the egg argument, right? is Buddy Ryan the legend that he is if he doesn't have Mike Singletary, Richard Dent, Reggie White when he was in Philadelphia? Or can we say that those players benefited equally from having Buddy Ryan as their coach?
If you wanted to extrapolate that to nowadays, you could ask the same question about Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Is he the same championship coach if he hadn't had Drew Bledsoe go down to an injury and had Tom Brady on his bench? And remember, they drafted Tom Brady number 199. So I think that's an impossible question to answer. I think if you ask Buddy's former players to a man, they will all tell you that they reached the pinnacle of their career because he was able to get out of them exactly what was the pinnacle of their talents.
Quick last one here. Better coordinator or better head coach?
Better coordinator, and that's probably true of his son, Rex, as well. But that's not a bad thing. And, you know, if you look at someone like Dick LeBeau, who's maybe the greatest defensive coordinator the game has ever seen, he wasn't a great head coach either. You look at Wade Phillips, same thing. You know, I think that being a great coordinator can be a Hall of Fame talent too. And I think Buddy was he's certainly top five greatest coordinators ever, but he wouldn't be top five greatest head coaches ever for sure.
Your piece on Buddy Ryan, very interesting. We tweeted it out here for our listeners. You mentioned the fact that he and Mike Ditka in that 15-1 season, they butted heads quite a bit, and that they almost actually came to blows in the team's only loss. And we did see him, obviously, on national television throw a punch at Kevin Gilbride.
Right.
How often does that happen on modern-day NFL staffs? I mean, you're still writing about the league. You're still covering the league. How often are those personalities still that polarized?
It happens behind the scenes, but it doesn't happen in front of cameras very often, and I don't think that it will. You know, the NFL has tried to present this very state image somewhat on the sidelines, and I don't think you're going to see that kind of stuff too much in the future. But there's no question that offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators will clash when one side of the ball is doing its job and the other one's not. You get some jealousies when a head coach, and as many of these in the league, pays more attention to one side of the ball than the other. And let's say, you know, a certain coach is more offense-oriented, the defense tends to not, you know, they get jealous about it. And that stuff does go on. These are not the finely tuned machines that you always think they are, because football is really not a finely tuned game.
That's Barry Wilner, covers the NFL for the Associated Press. He's got an interesting piece that I just tweeted out about the late, great Buddy Ryan. Passed away at age 85, architect of that 46 defense, most famous for the 1985 Bears, obviously. And he was 55-55-1 as an NFL head coach, which is a kind of an interesting record. Shows you the ups and the downs that he had in his career. Thanks for taking the time, Barry.
All right, thank you, guys.
He started coaching in 1968.